Hi, I'm James Schillinglaw, and I'm here with Jennifer Tombaugh, who is the president of Tauk. Now, we haven't talked to Tauk in a while. We wanted to find out what was going on, how they've been getting through this pandemic, and all the things going on for next year. And we're going to find out about all that and more on Insider Travel Report. Now, Jennifer, first of all, how are you and where are you? It looks like, it looks like snow in the background. I don't know.
I'm great, James, and it's wonderful to see you, and I'm glad you're well and healthy, and I hope for everybody who's tuning in that you and your families are well and healthy, too, and I just am really grateful for the opportunity. I'm actually here at Tauk in Wilton Woods. I think with the light, you can't really see the beautiful woods behind us. It's a nippy day, no snow, but it's definitely frost out there on those pumpkins, so we're looking forward to the final tick down of December and the calling into 2021.
No, that's great. And I have been to your headquarters. It's a beautiful location. And so anyway, we did want to talk a little bit about, Tauk has been a bit quiet during the pandemic, at least in terms of its communications. But how have you been doing as a company to get through this?
Yeah, well, it's interesting as you talk about communications, James. I think that's such a great way to begin. We started this year in our 95th year. Tauk was founded in 1925, so this is a milestone year. And back in early February, we had all of our Tauk directors together for our big annual conference. And as we sat in that room, and Dan Mahar, who's our CEO, and I did the State of the Union, Dan opened by talking about how technology is wonderful in our lives, but at the end of the day, right, we all know this, it's about the personal connection, mm-hmm. that an algorithm can't beat that personal touch that we all have. And that's that special sauce of our industry, right? And that's what we've been focusing on these last 9 months, is that personal human touch and that mm-hmm. engagement and that connection. We said, as we started to see this world unravel, right, just a month later, yeah. We went from our best year ever to our worst year ever. It's that Dickensian kind of experience, right? The best of times, the worst of times, right? That we were going to double down on engaging with our guests, with our advisors, and our suppliers. And we immediately reached out and started talking to people. So with our advisors, and we can talk to that later, about all of the webinars, the virtual trainings that we did, but the one-on-one contacts with our guests, we launched new platforms that didn't exist before, right? Mm-hmm. We had Dan's porch light email, that metaphor of keeping the porch light on when it was time to travel. He'll have his fifth edition coming out this month. We launched a new newsletter called The Compass, which never existed before, with over 120 different pieces of content that we put out for with great partners like Ken Burns or Celia Sands, sure. or an inside Tauk kind of one-on-one kind of experience with some of our guests and our great partners like young William Lobkowitz just last week did a behind-the-scenes tour of the palace, right? So we have those types of experiences that really allowed our guests to go behind the scenes. And some of those inside Tauk experiences, we had 1,500 guests and advisors from around the world dialing in to listen in.
Oh, that's
so
great.
Bottom line, we had over 1 million connections that we have made this year, whether it's been through the digital touches, but more through those personal connections. And that's what's really driven our connections with our partners and suppliers. We've called every single advisor who had a guest booked with us this year. We have called every partner supplier that we've had around the world to make sure that they were ready to welcome our guests. And so the combination of digital touches and that personal outreach has truly set us up for a great success in 21. We have recognized that, look, we are a village. We are a great ecosystem and a fabric out there, and we need everybody together pulling to get our guests traveling together to make sure that they can realize their dreams. And communication is the way it happens.
That's great. Now, it sounds like you've been having great outreach to travel advisors and your guests. Now in this most case, a lot, obviously you had a lot of tours and cruises canceled. So we're most of these, you're working with travel advisors to deal with those cancellations. And then did you put in a future tour and cruise booking credit system like a lot of other companies have?
We sure have. So the first thing that we did is, I think when all of this started in March, we did what everybody was doing, was just sending email blasts out and saying, we hope you'll stay with us. We certainly gave people refunds if they wanted that. But then as we started to make that personal outreach, we saw things start to change. But in addition to that individual, that personal touch, what really sealed the deal was having an opportunity to have that added incentive. So we offered the Talk Travel Wallet as an extra benefit for those who chose to keep their dreams alive with us and offer that credit for that future travel experience. And again, that financial incentive, keeping those dreams alive, along with that personal connection and that reassurance to let people know that we're here. We're here when they're ready to go, made a world of difference.
Now, did you shut down all your tour products, your cruises, your river cruise products at the moment, right? There's nothing going?
That's correct. So this was the first time we shut down the company since World War II. May 14th, 1942, Arthur Tauch put out a message to our...
Arthur Tauch Sr., if I recall.
Put out a message to all... Junior, actually. When Arthur Tauch Jr. is in a meeting and tells you about the last time we shut down in World War II, you know you're in a different world at that time.
Absolutely.
But yes, it was the first time that we have ceased operations. We were hopeful towards the end of the year. And while we did do a trial training trip of our Cape Cod program, actually, with some of our staff this past fall, we have suspended operations until the new year.
Okay. So, yeah, because, I mean, you do have some wonderful domestic trips. I mean, you started domestic trips. That's what your beginnings were, with actually Fall Foliage Tours, if I recall. The famous story of Arthur Tauch Sr. taking a bus from New York up into Vermont and places like that. So I was wondering if you had actually started domestic, but as of now, not yet, and you're waiting for next year.
Yes, we have some promising opportunities on the horizon. I don't want to jinx ourselves yet, because we know the world can change so quickly. But there are some domestic opportunities early in the new year that we hope to convert into our first restarting operations, which would be pretty exciting for everyone.
We're looking forward to that for the first domestic. Now, when do you think, once you restart domestic tour operations, what's the hope for, let's say, your expedition cruises? I know you work with Panam still, and they are operating, although so far they were operating in Europe. I think they may have shut down now. But when do you hope to begin working on small ship cruising like that? And they're not governed necessarily by the CDC, although obviously a lot of people are looking to that situation. So when do you expect or hope you'll be able to do expedition cruising?
Sure. Well, Panam's actually operating in Europe, in Tahiti, in Australasia, you know, hopefully Japan. But look, Panam, we, as with all of our partners, we have been in touch with them. We speak, I think, weekly, if not more often sometimes, is poised and ready to operate when the world opens. And you're right, they're not, obviously, being a French company, not under the CDC mandate, but they are part of CLIA. And so they're adhering to all the safe sail policies that everyone in CLIA is doing that as well. So, of course, they're under advisement of the WHO, and they partner very closely with the Marseille University Hospitality Center. So they've been, I think, as with all of us, right, we're putting health and safety first and foremost. At the end of the day, this is about the trust that we instill, and that comes with making sure that people feel that it's that Maslow hierarchy of needs, right, that their base level personal health and safety is protected. So we are crossing our fingers that maybe later in May, perhaps in Iceland, but definitely late summer and fall is where we're really focusing our efforts with our great, great partners at Panam.
And then, of course, you have river cruising. In fact,
we sure do.
When all this started, I think both you and I were going to be meeting on the Douro for your new ship on the Douro, and then everything went south from then. And I never actually made the trip, nor did you.
No, and it's I have my little picture of the Andarina on my desk as a reminder that that's where we're going to be. Hopefully, this upcoming spring, just like when the bird returns, we will too. I will underscore that both of these questions that you asked is really about those small experiences, right? It's small ship cruising and the smaller experiences that we offer on our river cruise programs. You know, one of the great benefits, and there are many of the supplier partners that we have globally, is the experience that they've been able to have, right? Because in a lot of these places, even though we can't bring our Tauch guests there, they've been able to service some of the local clientele. And our partners on Scylla were the first to restart on the rivers of Europe on June 1st. So they have had a ton of experience. They were met with a very enthusiastic market, particularly the German market, but overall the European market. And ultimately, they've had, you know, over 20 vessels, and seven of which were TAC. You know, it's been fun to watch the TAC vessels appear in different ports with guests on board.
But just not ours.
You know, yeah. But mainly German guests. But what was great about it is they love the experience, right? Just as our guests do. And we were able to observe at a distance, at least, how operationally they were able to keep those clients safe and secure, look at all the protocols that they've implemented, and hear the enthusiastic response from those travelers. And so, you know, River is really such, going to be such an ideal program for next year. You know, it's that small, intimate experience. It's in country. It's got that great mix, especially on our ships where we have those great public spaces and that the strong ability to space yourself out, right? Sure. That's always been a big selling point, even when things were in that overcrowding over tourism years. Remember those? Now is even
what,
more
what, that. What were those? I don't know. What are you talking about over tourism?
But all of those benefits, that small is big, still resonates. So we are certainly ready on the rivers for TAC guests to return.
No, that's great. And I was actually just earlier this morning, I was talking to someone from Hungary, and we were talking about Budapest and how key that is, and how we're all looking forward to getting back next spring at some point to river cruising on the Danube. So, which is a wonderful way to do it. And yeah. And again, I'm looking forward to you finally launching the ship on the Douro.
Yes.
That was going to be sort of the capper to a long, month-long trip for me that would have started with the Virtuoso Conference in Vienna and then ended with your new ship in on the Douro. But we're looking forward to that. Now, what's your sort of overall strategy going forward into 2021 as we emerge from the pandemic, hopefully with the vaccine? What's your pathway to returning to both touring and small ship and river cruising?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question, James. You know, we all had our strategies going into the year, right, of our missions and priorities that we were going to put forth. And we quickly had to shelve those a bit. I wouldn't say throw them away because they're just sort of, you know, on simmer right now. But we really focused on what we call the three R's, the retain, rebuild, and restart. Mm-hmm. And so our retention team was really about, again, making those personal connections, providing the right levers to ensure we can keep as many guest dreams alive as possible. The rebuild team was focused on how do we market and stay engaged with our guests. That speaks to all the different ways that I mentioned about how we are engaging with our guests and our advisor community through a variety of different platforms that leverage great content and remind people who we are and what we stand for and why our values resonate for nearly 100 years. And then our restart team has been focusing on all of that nitty gritty, right? That's our operations guts of, you know, what does the health and safety look like? What is all the new protocols and norms that we have to adhere to? How are the borders, which we know change daily in terms of openings and requirements, and where is it possible to restart? So we had those three R's: retain, rebuild, and restart. And for, I would say, the first 6-7 months, we were really focused a lot on retain, right, and just making sure we had those bookings secure moving forward for 21 and 22. And I'm really glad to report that well over half of our guests booked for 20 have either already booked or kept their monies with us to keep those dreams alive for 21 and into 2022. And certainly Ober Ammergau was part of that. But we've pivoted now that we're getting closer to hopefully restarting into that rebuilding from a marketing perspective. Sure. And then actually really doubling down deep into restarting. You know, there were a lot of hopes and glimmers of light that we thought we'd be able to operate something in the fall, and those didn't materialize, right? But we've been quite busy. You know, I always chuckle a little bit when people ask, well, you know, you've been shut down. What have you been doing? And I feel like
you're working harder than ever, right?
I know a lot of people in the industry, right? We worked harder than we ever have. So we are really now focusing on rebuilding from a marketing perspective. We just now, our river cruise brochure should be hitting in homes, and we'll have a Europe and North America book one that hit in September that'll again go out sometime in the new year, early in the new year. And then really, really focusing on restarting. In fact, we have a meeting this afternoon looking at, okay, let's go through our criteria again. Where do we stand? What are the possibilities for Q1?
No, that's great. And it is. It has been a roller coaster waiting to see what's going to happen here. Now, obviously, during this period, you've also looked at sort of new health and safety protocols that you're going to be introducing, both on your tour programs and obviously on your cruise products. Tell us a little bit about those.
Well, let me just start by saying, you know, the one of the many reasons I feel so blessed in this year of feeling really beaten up is the strength and the support of the Tauk family and the Tauk brand. And at the end of the day, what people are buying when they're choosing to travel with Tauk is trust. And we don't take that lightly for a second. And so, you know, we were also in a position that going, started even a little bit before 9/11, we had put in a global response team that has been tried and tested in so many different ways. And you know, you and I have lived through all of them, right? Whether it's been terrorist attacks like 9/11, whether it's been weather-related issues, ash clouds,
the incident high in Mumbai. And low water. You had the incident in Mumbai, right?
We had the horrible tragedy in Mumbai. We've had civil unrest and uprisings. We've had global health outbreaks before with SARS and Zika. You know, those all seem a little, you know, what? Remember those kind of things? But we've seen, and so I guess my point in saying that is that we have a team that obviously no one expected something like this to happen, a global pandemic, but a lot of those same protocols and approaches and procedures of that, okay, anchor on your values, what are you standing for? And then let's go out and iterate and learn, because this is, nobody knows the answers here, right? But let's come back to, okay, let's keep our guests as safe and protected as we can with our Tauk directors. Let's work with our partners and figure out how can we move forward in this strange new world. Mm-hmm. So we are updating this information all the time. I would really tell you for the latest and greatest, because it is changing all the time, for anyone who is interested, the advisor community and our guests, to visit Tauk.com, and we have travel-updates, and that's where we keep everything up to date as we can, and has a lot of the partner protocols that put in place. Obviously, we use the USTOA, ETOA, Canadian Tour Operator Alliance called Tour Cares to ensure that we were compliant. We follow the WTTC guidelines and all of those sorts of standards. But we've also said we're going to, you know, when Arthur Tauk Sr. started this company 95 years ago, he said, all I want is a congenial party. And to have a congenial party of friends, right, you trust each other, right? You make a commitment to each other that you're going to all act in a certain way. And so we have a pledge to our guests that we're going to do all that we can from a health and safety perspective with our protocols and personal health screening for our Tauk directors as well. But we also are asking our guests to make a pledge not only to Tauk, but to each other, right? Mm-hmm. And so that means signing a travel well pledge.
Okay.
That will say that they will conform to local requirements regarding wearing face coverings or physical distancing or whatever those rules are, because again, we know that there is no consistency. That's a bit of the challenge of all this, right? Mm-hmm. But they'll play by the rules there for both themselves, but for the health and safety of others. And that they'll also agree to take a COVID test 5 days prior to departure.
Okay.
And what we've learned is that, you know, we've been surveying our patrons throughout, and knowing that others are all traveling within that bubble and have sort of passed those health hurdles and agree to kind of play by the rules, really, you know, you just start to relax. You don't have to worry about, well, what are they doing this? What's going on? You know, everybody's in that bubble together.
Right.
And you have that common say, okay, let's go out and make our dreams come true. Let's try and take those very real and important health concerns and let them come down the priority pole just a little bit, so that you can, and with that assurance that you know that others are as well, so that you can go out and really be present in the destination and live the dream that you've wanted. So we are very focused on that. And of course, we're going out with the physical distancing requirements. And that mantra, again, I mentioned before, small is big, that has really held true. You know, it was in a different context that we brought that up before. Mm-hmm. But we've seen our small group business just really skyrocket. We were seeing that already. And it really seems to have even accelerated, which was hard to believe. And then we've also introduced private departures. So for those guests who would like to travel within their own little bubble, right, under a further kind of bubble wrap of Tauk, then they can do that. And we've offered some special pricing and incentives to allow people that. And we've seen a nice uptick on that, particularly with families. And that was which I can understand as a mom myself.
Well, you have the Tauk Bridges product, which is your family product, right?
Exactly. And that's been a nice win for those involved. So that's involved 70 land programs right now. And as we see demand, we'll add more.
No. Now, let's talk a little bit about how you're helping travel advisors get back to selling your programs, both tour and cruise, Maybe they already are selling for, obviously they have customers they move from 20 to 21, but I'm talking about new bookings. Maybe they already are selling for 21 and 22.
We, you know, we've, as I mentioned before, we've never stopped engaging with our advisor community. And, you know, just to put some of those statements into real numbers, again, every guest who booked with us through an advisor for 2020, we have connected not only with the guests, but with the advisor community. And so that again, that personal connection, and those are tens of thousands of guests, right, has been, and tens of thousands of advisor calls have made such a meaningful impact into our retention rates for 21 and into 2022, especially with some of those, you know, longer term planning trips, whether it's a bucket list event or something like Oberammergau. But we've had nearly 3,000 advisors trained at our virtual agency trainings. We've had more than 1,600 consumers, clients of advisors attend joint sessions that we've had with our advisor partners. We've engaged about 390 advisors through our virtual trade shows and conferences. We've met one-on-one with nearly 500 trade agency owners and managers. We've had 11 webinars, and with attendance at each one of them near 500 advisors. We had a virtual academy that I just tuned into. It was our first one last Wednesday. You know, the last one we did was in person in Japan back in February. And so it's it was just a little bit odd, but still incredibly powerful to be part of that. And so, again, that dialogue has been so key, because what we said at the start of this thing is that, look, no one's going to know the answers, right? We don't know the answers. The advisor community doesn't know the answer. But we're all going to be searching for that, right? And that's going to create a lot of tension and anxiety. And the more conversation we can have about what they're hearing, what they're feeling, what their clients are experiencing, together we can come up with solutions that will help and support them and drive those bookings. And so we are, you know, blessedly seeing really robust booking efforts for 21 and into 22, not only from a retention perspective, but now starting new. And I think since we've seen some positive news in the last month, particularly with the vaccine, that's starting to pick up. And we are in those one-on-one conversations, and our terrific sales team has been out there really engaging with our partners to make sure that we're ready to go as that good news continues to happen. You know, we're hoping that 21 is the reverse of 20 in the sense that, you know, it was bad news daily. We're going to hopefully hear good news daily going into 21, and that's going to mean, you know, more bookings coming in. So just a huge shout out to our whole advisor community, and they've been awesome and super helpful, and the candid feedback that we've gotten has really been helpful for everyone involved. And I think ends the day, most importantly, is a win for our guests.
No, that's great. It's great news. And yeah, things look good. Let's hope these vaccines roll out quickly in the first half of 2021. And we'll start to get back. I mean, obviously 2021 is going to be not as great a year as we all hope, but I think given the bookings that I see and I hear about, we can probably recover pretty good by the second half of the year. And that goes to also, have you had to change and alter your itineraries, your sailings for next year and beyond because of the pandemic? Are you, and did you have to introduce anything new for 21 or 22?
Well, as I mentioned, we did launch our private departures to respond to that need that's out there. But the modifications that we've been making, James, have really been around our existing product and making sure that we can deliver the TAC experience. You know, we pondered a lot, like, should we try and take the advantage of launching something new right now? And what we realized is, you know, 90% of our guests were booking on the same trip that they took, that they had reserved in 2020. Sure. So they want to go on the product that we offer. And so let's make that the best product that we possibly can. And so that's where our energy and focus it really has been. And so, yeah, sure, we've had to do some consolidation of trips, and there were some new products that we had in the pipeline we were going to launch that we put on ice, just in the interest of just being smart about how we move forward. But I got to tell you, you know, as we especially go into to the latter half of 21, as you mentioned, I think you're going to see a long booking leg this year for the booking curve for 21. And into 22, we see Oberammergau, and we're working on Floriad, you know, Floriad's in 2022. That's just around the corner in our book. And so those experiences are the ones where we know our guests want, and we're really focusing on how can we deliver the best of what we do on those experiences that the guests have interest and demand for.
Now, are you seeing more domestic bookings for next year? I mean, are people more interested in staying closer to home, or are they saying, heck, we're going to go to Europe?
You know, this is really fascinating. I think out of the gate, you're going to see a big pickup in domestic trips overall. And I think 22, we saw great pickup for domestic trips anyway. And so I think that will continue. But you know, we do these pulse check surveys, and the number one destination for our guests throughout this whole experience, right? So every kind of couple months, we go out and say, hey, what are you thinking? Where's your next trip going to be? More than half of them have said Europe. And that really, really surprised us, even more than domestically. And so, well, I think we'll have a nice startup domestically, and that'll get us kind of back in our game. Europe is still the star out there. Even some of the exotic trips have done better in recent surveys than we might have expected. So, you know, we're pretty excited about the rumors out there that the Jordanian border might be open because our Egypt-Jordan programs were just taking off. And so we're hoping that might be an opportunity in the new year. So keeping our fingers crossed. But for the most part, you know, again, 90% of folks want to book what they were going to take before. Yeah. And our great river cruise programs, our small ship programs in Europe, and certainly the land programs, both our core and bridges family programs are doing well.
Well, I certainly want to get back to Europe. And like you, I mean, I was supposed to go to Oberammergau this year.
Yes.
And no, they didn't cancel. They didn't postpone till 21. They postponed till 22.
They were smart. So they had that divine knowledge.
We're throwing out hundreds of years of history here. They weren't supposed to do it every 10 years, right? And now they skipped a couple years. But let's talk a little bit about what would you suggest to travel advisors to help them emerge from this crisis along with Taub? What should they be doing right now and into 2021?
Sure. So I've got five things. First, don't wait for your clients to call you. There is so much pent-up demand out there. I mean, just think about your own friends that you talk to. Everybody had something that they wanted to do this year, a trip that they're planning. I can't wait until the borders open so I can go fill in the blank, right?
Right.
Everybody's got a trip. And so they're, even though people are understandably anxious about traveling now, they are planning. And you even have seen this with the U.S. Travel Association's campaign about Let's Make Plans, that they're tapping into this core desire that people need to plan to give them something to hope for. There's all this positive psychology. I'm not talking about a lot of kind of hoo-ha. There's really anchoring psychology and science behind having something to look forward to and how we all feel. And especially going into the winter months, we all need something positive to look forward to. So don't wait for the clients to call you. Let's start talking about and planting seeds for travel. Prospecting, again, might not have been core guests or clients that you've worked with in the past, but think about those folks who might be out there that maybe you haven't reached out to before, because again, a lot of pent-up demand, people want to travel. Third, and one of the most important things is share facts. I'm continually a little surprised at sort of the amount of, I will call it fake news around the safety of different modes of transportation. And you've seen that, especially with the airlines, how strongly they've invested in not only physical distancing requirements on planes, but the air circulation. I mean, these are things we never knew about, right? Or didn't need to know about, right? It are now part of our vocabulary, but air circulation per hour, you know, you get a number over six, and that's better than your home, right?
Right.
And you have got airlines circulating air 10 to 12 times an hour, right? And the coaches are the same way. And so you find that these forms of transportation are actually pretty darn safe relatively, right? I mean, nothing is a guarantee, but I think there's still a lot of question or misunderstanding about what that experience could be like or the dangers of that. So I think, you know, just sharing facts about public health protocols, studies. There's a great study out by the Harvard Chan School of Public Health on airline travel that I've been circulating around quite a lot, just to kind of calm some of those false fears. Again, all of these concerns, I think people should be investigating. I'm not saying dismiss them. I'm just saying, like, let's just make sure we've got the right data to work with. I would also say number four is selling scarcity. We have trips that are already booked up for next year. You know, again, wow. We have people that just moved from 20 into 21. Yep, I want the same trip, just let's move it till next September. And so if there's again, back to the whole planning thing for prospecting and for, you don't wait for your clients to call you. If they want a certain category cabin on a river cruise or a small ship cruise, or if they want a destination, get it on the books. You always have that flexibility, you know, to cancel within a certain window, but get the reservation out there. And then also provide choices. You know, everybody's got different risk profile, right? Some people might be dying to go on their African safari. Others might say, I'd still like to go and have a great nature experience and see some animals. Well, what about an American safari and get out west to the US, right? And see the bison and the elk and the wolves, right? There's different ways that people can experience the cultural or the outdoors or whatever dream that they have in a way that's meaningful. And I am always so blessed and feel so lucky to have this great advisor community around to help guide and think about what is really in the client's mind that they really want and help drive them to a decision so that they do feel excited and hopeful about the travel that awaits them in the new year.
No, those are great advice, and hopefully Travel Advisor will take heart, a lot of that to heart. Is there anything else you want to tell our 100,000 Travel Advisor readers and viewers out there about TAUC, the effect of the pandemic, and how we can all get back to whatever they're calling this new normal?
Again, I just have to say thank you. A heartfelt thank you. I mean, you know, it's easy for us to kind of get on these calls, James, and we all talk about what the predictions are going to be for the year. But let's face it, this has been devastating for all of us. And there's been a lot of emotion and a lot of pain and a lot of trying to seek and understand and learn. And we've gotten to where we are here just days before the start of the new year because of the partnership and the communication and the strength of the partners that we have. And so I am so grateful for the advisors out there that are keeping so many people's dreams alive. People need this so much in the new year. And there, I will just tell you that we here at TAUC, and again, thanks to the great TAUC family, we are going to be here for the next 95 years and 95 years after that. And we are grateful for the trust that everyone has put in us. And we are ready for those onslaught of guests who want to travel. We will be here to deliver the quality and the value and that they expect from us, and we will do that as in the safest way that we can. You know, all the things that we were talking about pre-COVID still apply. Sure. Small is big. We're going to continue to innovate on our land programs. River cruising is going to continue to grow. Small ship cruising is still going to be a pathway. We're going to continue to invest in our technology, and we're going to do it in the way that, again, back to how I started, in the personal experience and interaction that has been our hallmark of the great TAUC directors that we have, the engagement that they have with our guests, and that we try to do with, whether it's our supplier partners, with our guests, but certainly with our advisor community, to keep that conversation going so that we can learn from each other and we can dream together. And I just wish everybody a safe end to 20 and a safe beginning to 21. But I wish you all the hope and the promise and the light that the new year brings. And I'm just grateful so much for the opportunity, James.
Well, Jennifer, I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us about what TAUC is going on at TAUC. It sounds like you've been doing a lot, like all of us. We all thought the pause, we'd have time to reflect. And we're actually working harder than ever. It's kind of a crazy situation, but hopefully that will allow us to emerge quicker and back to getting back to travel, but going normally. With all of your programs, I know I've experienced many of your programs over the years. You have some great products, and I think everybody's going to be rushing back to experience them in the future. Again, thank you for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you, James. Take care.
I'm James Schillinglaw.
Happy holidays.
I'm James Schillinglaw, and this is Insider Travel Report.